I now call this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to order. I am Melissa Maley, the spy.
I'm Tyler Riley, cop and a half.
I'm Tristan Miller, the saucy sleuth. I want a new name.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to mention this on the next Poirot episode we do, obviously for the main feed, but I think I want a new name.
All right.
Do you have any ideas? Is this going to be like a Twitter or Facebook poll? Is this going to be kind of a spur of the moment thing?
Ooh. Yeah. I like a poll.
Yeah, a poll I think would be good. Maybe a doc of like submit your suggestions here or like just on the Twitter or on the Facebook. Yeah, I'm just like, I've been Saucy Sleuth for what, over a year now? Getting a little... Was that always what it was?
No.
No, you were kid detective.
Kid. Yeah, and then you did cop and a half, so I was like, well, we can't have two cops. That's one cop. Two and a half cops. Which, you know, cops. Do you not remember the Two and a Half Men theme?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I did not watch that.
You know, your life is better for it, is what I will have to say. Yeah, we'll figure out some.
John Cryer me a river.
Oh, hello, Romeo. My dog wants to join.
Okay.
The unofficial fourth host of the show.
Come on, buddy. Yeah. Up on the bed. Up.
Mascot of the pod.
So we are talking today about Murder, She Wrote, Season 1, Episode 7, which is called Hit.
I'm going to Google it.
Run and Homicide. Oh, I have Googled it. There are conflicting reports.
Of like what episode it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What is with this?
Well, it's because the pilot...
It's Murder, She Wrote, not Murder, She Counted, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that... No, there is probably someone listening to this that cares very much.
Yeah.
about the number.
Is it because the pilot wasn't aired on TV and then everything was off by one?
Or? Maybe. It's a whole Firefly debacle. Like,
exactly. Which, God, execs, come on.
Still mad.
But yeah, we're in Cabot Cove this episode.
Yeah, we're back at Cabot Cove, Maine. And it's very Maine-y. And I was watching the episode and my boyfriend was milling around and he said, is the intro playing again?
That's funny.
Because after the intro, they use the intro music. It's like that episode or the many episodes of Poirot that we saw that... Yeah. Just kind of the whole entire music deal was remixes of the intro music.
For sure.
So we see Jessica on her bike riding through town, not in the intro, but in the episode.
Yeah.
To intro music. And then we see this gentleman on his bike with like... It's like in a minor key, like very like droopy dog, like.
I was thinking the Jaws theme, but also droopier dog.
Oh no, we can't go to the beach.
Yeah, basically. So it's cutting between the two of them with Jessica riding along to normal music and then him riding along to what's going on music.
I can't pay attention on my bicycle.
Yeah. And they just about collide with each other.
Absolutely fantastic.
And they... It's presented like they did kind of collide with each other.
Yeah.
And he says, Jessica, why don't you watch where you're going? And Jessica's like, this was you.
Yeah, they exchange insurance information real quick.
But clearly she knows this guy and they are... buddies, because Jessica is friends with everyone in the town and knows everyone in the town.
Yeah.
And like, who has the time?
Well, I mean, Jessica's been around for a while.
She has lived there. Is she a native?
I think so, or at least long enough. like,
I don't know why I thought she moved there in the pilot.
Oh,
I had to tell myself no. Like, I know she, I know that's not true, but I had to keep reminding myself that that wasn't the case, and I don't know why.
That's so funny. Oh, goodness. This guy is kind of an amateur inventor, and he's, you know, trying to fix up a gadget for his bike that,
yeah, that like tells, reads like blood, his heart rate and like,
yeah,
other things.
yeah, how fast he's going and stuff, and it's clearly not working correctly, and that's why he was so distracted, blah blah blah. So Jessica has to give a speech at the Founders Day picnic. And she's disturbed because they were terrible jerks.
Yeah.
I mean, which happens a lot. Because the founders of lots of places were colonialists and racists and you know.
Wasn't, like, everyone fine with the terribleness, like, being quote-unquote exposed? Like, they just didn't want it getting out that one of the founders, like, fought for the British? Like, that was, like, their hang-up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This whole thing.
Because he was a pirate.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And they knew that.
And so he's, like, he stole stuff, he murdered people, he fought for the British. All in all. I mean, you must love him, Tyler.
Hey, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
So, I did some cursory Googling, and the average, population of a town in Maine is 20,000. So, it's pretty small.
Yeah.
I also, like, don't know, like, how small is a small town?
I mean, probably, like, 10,000 people. Right?
That still seems like a lot of people. Like, I need a town with like 10 or less people.
10 or less people.
I'm going to put world's smallest town.
Okay, great.
Smallest. I want smallest. Sorry, no, I want smallest town in the U.S. Town, U.S.
I can't wait to beat the record or whatever this town is by just amassing amounts of land and just being there with just, like, myself.
Tyler okay. Town, population one.
One.
So, to no one's surprise, it is Wyoming.
Sure.
Okay.
And it has one resident. To answer your question, Tyler, my grandparents live in Sundance, Wyoming. It's the largest city in Wyoming, or one of them. And they have a population of, like, 1,200 people. So that's a small town.
All right.
I'll have to look into Wyoming.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to be left alone forever, the Dakotas and Wyoming are perfect. That's why everyone there is nuts, because everyone that moved there was like, I don't want to be around people. Which is understandable, specifically these days. I want to know the population of Cabot Cove.
Oh, they do show us. It's like 5,000 something or other. Like, they when she was riding her bike, she passes the Cabot Cove sign, and it has population.
Okay, well, that's a pretty small town.
Yeah.
That's reasonable. Because when she goes into the store, that is the smallest grocery store I've ever seen in my life. More or less. It's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah. It's quite small.
It's very quaint.
It anyway. Is. So she goes to this picnic? Or does she go over to the guy's house first? And meet?
Picnic.
I think they go to the picnic.
Great.
Yeah.
So we go to the picnic, and she's about to give her speech, and some dude comes flailing his arms, yelling. And he's being chased by a car.
Vroom.
And it drives very slowly. But it's following him slowly into the park, onto, like, the baseball diamond. And And there is a collision, and he does go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And he, like, climbs up a gate and then, like, falls on top of the car.
Oh, no.
And then the car drives off, like, leaving him just injured. Like, it drives away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does. And there is no one in the car that anybody can see. And
it's a regular Stephen King situation.
Yes.
It is in Maine.
It is. Mm. But it's like a very silly Stephen King story.
Yeah.
And Ethan, Jessica's buddy from the town, witnessed this. And then, of course, in the hospital or near the hospital or whatever, we see Amos, the sheriff. Sheriff Amos Tupper is asking Ethan what he saw. And Ethan says, "I saw nobody in the car." And he says, "That's crazy. That could never happen. What on earth do you mean?"
Can I tell you?
Mm.
It became very apparent watching this episode. I was like, Amos reminds me of somebody. And it's Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Tom Bosley is a bit more like an older Patton Oswalt. I like that.
Yeah. But yeah, also, a note about how fast the car was going.
Mm.
I didn't notice, like, I didn't think diegetically it was going slowly. I thought they had to do it slowly for the stunt of it all.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I just assumed that, like, they were like, yeah, it's meant to be going very quickly. but they couldn't because they didn't want to hurt anybody.
I know. When we've watched the slowest car chases from Poirot.
Yeah.
It does. It makes it feel like that. But.
Yes.
But no.
But no. Within the context of the universe, it's still pretty slow.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so this dude who has gotten injured from the car with no driver is the former business partner of our buddy from the bike, who has a name that
Daniel.
Is Daniel. Mm-hmm. And so Jessica goes to see Daniel and his friend, a lady who lives with him,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
A lady friend.
But they are not together.
No. Can I would like to say one more thing about the hospital.
Please do.
There's something, an absolutely wild statement that the doctor makes, which he's like, well, nothing's broken, but if you're in pain, we'll figure it out. And I'm like, this is why we have the opioid crisis. Like, this is the issue.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, damn. It's like, you can't just, oh my god. Anyway. Yeah.
It's pretty upsetting.
Yeah. Ay, ay, ay.
So.
Anyway.
Yes. Jessica goes to see Daniel and his lady friend, not a girlfriend, and his nephew, who has a new fiance, is there. And this fiance is a ridiculous person who is a salesperson that has to go back and forth to Portland. So she borrows the car a lot.
The largest city in Maine, as I've just looked up.
Yes. I've been to Maine a couple times, but mostly mostly as a performer. Mm. So I performed at a barn. I performed a children's version of Beauty and the Beast in a barn in Maine once. It was very strange, as venues go. Anyhow.
What's the weirdest venue you've performed in?
That's up there. I mean, I also have done a lot of Shakespeare in the Park, so.
Sure.
Yeah. Maybe
Tyler's
the barn.
Really, really thinking about it.
Yeah, because I'm just like, when you say performance,
anything. Doesn't need to be a play. You could be singing, you could be dancing. I'm trying to rack my brain too, because as a comedian, like, I've done it probably at the Jekyll and Hyde bar.
Probably the toilet.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Is that like a fancy bar or the shitter?
Just a shitter.
Oh, I have. I've sung in.
Melissa remembered she performed in an outhouse.
That's right. Well, no, I also I have sung in Penn Station, or no, I'm sorry, Port Authority.
Yeah, Port Authority. I remember that.
Yeah, it's a very strange.
I could not make it, but I tried to project myself to you.
It was very good.
Oh, thanks. It's a very weird place to perform because you don't have people's attention.
No.
Yeah, it was just like this weird platform. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've done multiple Renaissance fairs. That's the weirdest place. Like, it makes sense, but the place itself is weird.
Sure. Yes. That is. Ren fairs are weird and wonderful. Yeah. Oh, God. I just.
Inherently weird.
Yeah, that's a thing that I hope happens this year, too. Anyhow.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. So we meet the fiancé who takes the car and drives back and forth to Portland. Okie doke.
Right.
So we then get Ethan at the docks, I guess.
Oh, wait,
Oh, there's more. Yes.
Yeah, when we're visiting Daniel, we do see that Jessica goes to, like, check on him in his work station.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Where she tells him about the attack that happened because Charles Woodley?
Sure.
Okay. I think that's the guy's name who got hurt by the car.
Yeah, I think
Charles
you're right.
Woodley, had said that he was in town because Daniel had invited him
right.
to town.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And Daniel was like, no, fuck him. Fuck you for coming here and telling me that he was here.
Mm-hmm. He's not a fan.
I hate that guy.
Yes, he deserved to die, and I hope he burns in hell.
Yeah, I'm going to spit on his grave once he's gone.
Yeah, he is not a fan. No. So, yes. So then we see Ethan at the dock, and another traveler has come into town. We learn later that his name is Dean Merrill. And he wants to know how to get a taxi. And he says, well, you gotta walk about 2 miles that way. And he says, seriously? And he's like, yeah, it's probably a small town.
Yeah.
You have to walk to the train station. Most people come by train. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, it's 2 miles away, but where are you trying to go? The hospital. Oh, the hospital's a mile that way. You might as well just walk there.
Yeah.
So Merrill starts walking to the hospital, and he meets the driverless car, which runs him over, killing him.
Yeah, like, into, like, the side of a mountain. Like, it's rough.
Yeah.
So he's just a rando?
Well, we learn later that we learn pretty quickly that he is the business partner of Woodley and also former business partner of our buddy Daniel.
Right, 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 right. And there's also this fun subplot when they're in the hospital that Sheriff Tupper is like anxious about, in general, solving cases now for some reason. And he likes having Jessica's help, and Ethan lets Jessica know, and he's basically like, hey, maybe you should just, maybe you should show up and just, you know, help him out a little bit. And she's like, I don't really want to do that. And he's like, maybe you should just, you know, just do it. Because he's sad. He's sad about his job. How long do you think Sheriff Tufford has been the sheriff?
A million years. Since the beginning of time.
He showed up with the pirate.
Yeah.
And he was immediately mm-hmm. the sheriff.
That's right.
He's an ancient spirit that haunts the grounds.
Correct.
And that's why he's so sick of this damn job.
Basically. So. So,
he's
yeah.
a ghoul.
Yeah, after Ethan, like, tells her what's going on with the sheriff, and after he tells her about the death of the partner, Yeah, she goes to the sheriff, and then he tricks him into allowing her to kind of tag along on his mm-hmm. investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So they go together to see Woodley in the hospital again, right?
Yeah, and he does say that he that they used to work with Daniel. Daniel used to work with them, and that there was like remote control gadgets that they were working on, like remotely operated things. And so, just kind of goes, that's an interesting concept, a remotely operated thing.
Yes, so after like kind of deciding that like they gotta track down the car, so Amos is on it, and then like Jessica goes to like a picnic. And like it's like that's when she's like eating at Daniel's with like
the
nephew and all that, right? Okay.
Yeah. It's a barbecue. And Daniel insists that he never called the two guys, Merrill and Woodley, to come to town, even though they're saying, no, he called us here.
Oh, right.
So Jessica needs to figure out what's going on.
Go ahead.
So she does find that there is a call that went from Woodley's private, that went from his house, from Daniel's house, to Woodley's private line.
Right.
Okay.
Because we didn't have cell phones. It was the 80s.
And she talks to Katie about that, right? Like the girlfriend? Or not? Yeah. The non-girlfriend girlfriend.
Right, yes. The non-girlfriend girlfriend.
The girlfriend. The friend who is a girl.
And then we find out that Daniel was fired from his job.
That's right.
Right.
But because we don't really get an explanation of why.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, oh, they thought he was wasting money. But we don't really get an explanation beyond that. So it's like very like vague and loose. And is this where we get like the dog bit?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
This is so beautiful.
Oh, it's the best.
So while they're at the barbecue at Daniel's, Daniel decides to test out this new invention. So like he calls over his nephew that brings like these three rods, and like he puts them in like very specific places in the yard, and it's supposed to have like this high frequency sound to like get rid of like aphids off of the roses.
Yes.
So he turns it on, and they're like, oh, we can't hear anything. And he's like, well, it's because it's at the super high frequency, like it's not meant for us. And all of a sudden you just hear like these dogs it's barking.
Not meant for us.
Yeah.
God has not ordained this for us.
No, exactly.
This sacrament is for the aphids alone.
And apparently...
actually, it's for the dogs, as they say. And the dogs come a-running to the yard. Tearing up the yard.
Oh my gosh, there's like 10 dogs that just come running.
There's a lot of dog, and it kind of reminded me of Christmas Story. You know, with all those bloodhounds.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And I would absolutely love this device as long as it would call the dogs to me.
Same here.
I'd just sit there with my arms wide open.
You know, you could just buy a dog whistle.
Sure.
Yeah.
But where's the fun in that?
Exactly.
A dog whistle and a megaphone.
Honestly. Or you can just go to your local shelter and
buy 1,000 dogs.
Adopt 1,000 dogs.
That's what I love about the...
As long as you can properly take care of them.
Shout out to the Burlington County Animal Shelter, because so many listeners are from the Burlington County area of New Jersey.
Yes, of course.
But like, I look at like some of the shelters when I was looking for a dog living up here in Weehawken. Like, the shelters, like, around us, like, the dogs are, like, so expensive at, like, the shelters and rescues. And I was like, back home, like, I could get a dog for, like, $25. Like, what is this?
Just, like, the adoption fee. Yeah,
the, like, back home, you basically just pay for the shots and you can take care of the dog. Like, there's several. We had several shelters that were like, "Hey, just please, just take a dog."
Yeah,
if you want two? We'll give you as many dogs as you want, please.
Yeah.
Back in my day, you could get a dog for as cheap as you can get gas.
And now you can get gas for like $2, maybe, at the most.
You know, it's so weird.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. It went negative this week.
Oh my god!
They were giving away gas.
At some point, the price of gas I saw on as a New York Times headline, price of gas went negative for a second.
I will give you $3. Please take this gasoline for me.
I mean,
it is a burden.
Like a theoretical price, you know, not they're selling at the gas station for negative money, but
I don't have any negative money. Oh no.
Yeah.
Besides, is it like Bitcoin? Really like the smell of gasoline.
Oh, that absolutely. It's amazing.
Do they like, I want like a gasoline candle, but I feel like that's a very bad idea.
my friend, Joe Mack, he's a comedian. He's very funny. He's a very funny young man. And he does this hysterical bit where out of nowhere, he'll just be like, well, gas smells good. And he'll go, well, my theory is that people who kill themselves in garages aren't trying to kill themselves. They just love the smell of gas and then forget. I remember helping my dad fuel up our red Jeep Cherokee growing up, and I would just sit there and smell it, and my dad was like, you can't do that for too long, you will get a headache and maybe pass out.
I don't mind the smell for a short period of time, but it's not like I don't need a candle of it, as Tyler suggested.
A Yankee candle. Okay, well,
guess
gasoline.
What you're not getting next Christmas, Melissa.
Good. Thank you. That would be one of those gifts that was like a burden.
Wait, re-gift that shit. Like,
right back to Tyler.
Yep. Like, well, I'll give you this for negative $3.
Yeah. Here's $3 in this candle.
Please. It is a burden. I'm over encumbered by this candle.
I remember when I lived out of state. I lived in Massachusetts for a period of time.
Sorry for
your and loss. I had to pump my own gas, and I was not happy about it. So I drove around 20 minutes out of my way to find a full-service gas station to fill up.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I am baffled by this. There is still full-service gas stations?
In New Jersey, it is against the law to pump your own gas.
For why?
Because we don't need to be doing this.
Wherefore?
It's okay.
It's like for safety reasons, but
yeah. But Tyler, you can pump your own gas if you need to, right?
You know how.
I can.
I'll make you this exchange, Tyler. I will always pump your gas if you give me a ride. Because I can't drive, but I can pump gas. So, you know.
I have a friend from
Tyler
New Jersey.
And Tristan are hitting the road.
A new docuseries. Oh, you have a friend, Melissa.
But no, I did. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Melissa.
No, that's okay. I have a friend who is from New Jersey and very proud of it and absolutely refuses to learn how to pump gas.
And good on them for doing that. I'm team your friend. Team friend.
Okay. If she listens to this podcast, I love you, but what are you trying? I mean, learn how to do stuff for yourself.
To put it in perspective from my end, we would only, like, we had one gas, like, you could, there were two lanes, self-serve and you know, whatever it is.
Sure.
Called, full service. And my father would only go to full service if he needed, like, an oil check. And also if he was just, like, it was like a luxury. to sure. not pump your own gas. Like, because it costs, like, a dollar or whatever, or you tip the guy or something. I don't know. And, like, so that's fascinating to me. What a bougie lifestyle you have, Tyler. God bless.
I mean, like, were you ever in doubt of my bougie lifestyle?
No. No. Why can't you pump your own gas in New Jersey? First thing, the Retail Gasoline Dispensing Safety Act, for the driver's own good, declares if you didn't allow people to pump their own gas, you could charge more for potential costs of services. The second follow-up is it really illegal to pump your own gas in New Jersey? As if it's an urban myth.
People, like, from out of state, like, do, like, I have seen, like, arguments at gas stations over, of like, out-of-towners, like, thinking they're too good to sit in their car for, like, 5 seconds.
It's the only state that does this. In Oregon, it was up until 2016, and then now it's the only one. That's so strange. That's so interesting. New Jersey is wild.
Because we don't pump our gas? Like, we're not Florida.
It's fire hazard. So basically too many people smoked while pumping gas is what happened.
Oh.
And then they got lit on fire like Zoolander. Okay, so if y'all don't know to not smoke and pump gas, you deserve it. It's fine. You got, you know, I'm all for that. God bless.
Meanwhile, in Cabot Cove, where I assume they can all pump their own gas.
They don't later in the episode, just pointing that out.
That's true. But Jessica tries to tell Amos, she has a consult with Amos that basically leads to her going out on her own, on her lonesome, and looking for these driverless car, you know, monster machines. And
these ghosts.
She finds one in a bush.
Right.
Like, yes, but wait. How did she... There was a mention, like, she knew about, like, this drag of land.
Yeah.
I don't remember how...
It wasn't very well framed.
Okay.
Because I kind of missed it, too. I'm like, why is Jessica suddenly in a car? And she... They have said very specifically a number of times, I think, at this point, that Jessica does not drive and, I don't believe, knows how to drive.
Correct.
Representation matters. I love a bicycle. I love a scooter. I love a skateboard. Cars are scary. They shouldn't exist.
I know how to drive a car. I do not know how to ride a bicycle.
Excuse me? Okay.
Did you not know this about me?
The gas thing and the bicycle thing. My perception of the both of you is just... okay. All right. You can bring a Melissa to a bicycle, but you can't make her ride it.
No, you can't. I kind of learned a little bit when I was living in the suburbs, but basically when I was a kid, when everyone else was learning how to ride bikes,
mm-hmm.
I lived in an area where there was too much, so much traffic that...
I see. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I've
got to be safe.
I've ridden a bicycle in the city, and it's actually pretty fun. It's pretty fun.
It looks like absolute horror or terror for me.
So, right. Jessica finds this car by some miracle.
And there is a gloved hand we see controlling the remote control from, like, a van of some sort. So, this person is driving Jessica in the car.
Yeah, she gets into the car quite foolishly, in my opinion. I mean, to explore, but, like...
And this, like, I, like, so, as many of us know, we know, but the listeners may or may not know, at the beginning of the episode, you get kind of a recap of the episode you're about to see.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the point in which, like, Jessica's just, like, struggling inside the car with the door shut. And I was like, why'd her dumb ass close the door to begin with? And I was like...
yeah.
And then we find out that that was beyond her control. So I apologize. Yeah.
For thinking a thought.
I was like, why'd like her...
The wardrobe to Narnia. Never shut the door, otherwise you'll get stuck forever.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we have a very weird scene in which Jessica is, through no fault of her own, well, some fault of her own, but with no control, just riding in this driverless car around the streets of Cabot Cove. And finally, Ethan finds her and helps her get out of it. I don't know. They crash through a gate and the car speeds off a cliff. And
almost, yeah.
She seems weirdly calm during all of this. Like, she's not, you know, just sitting there doing whatever, but she does not appear to be freaking out either.
I mean, so. I think she accepts that it's beyond her control, and whatever it will be, will be. Que sera, yeah. Sera.
It's like Jessica became an unlocked character on Mario Kart. Like, it's just... That was... Yeah. It was very stressful. It was stress-inducing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, the gloved hand gives up and rides away.
Meow.
So, they're very upset, and Ethan and Jessica go get a cup of tea at the police station, and Amos... starts doing his paperwork and whatnot.
Can I tell you, I like how they treat the police station kind of like the hop. Like, they just go and they hang out there.
Yeah.
It's like, let's go just see how Amos is doing. Just chilling.
Yeah. And Amos discovers some of Daniel's stuff in the back of this car.
Right. Yeah.
And so they're convinced that it's Daniel who has set up this whole thing to, you know, get rid of his old business partners, of course. So then they go over to Daniel's to see if they can find some proof of his innocence or anything. But the sheriff's convinced, and Amos arrests him.
Yes. And then they go to the jail, right? That's the next scene? Okay, mm-hmm. And this is a very interesting thing of, like, they talk to him about the phone call. He's like, I don't remember doing that. And it turns out the reason he was fired or let go was not because he made a bad business decision, but because he was institutionalized. He had some sort of episode. And so they allude to that. He's like, well, maybe, like, am I schizophrenic or, like, what's going on?
Yeah, he says the word, schizoid.
Yeah, which is dated.
Yeah.
It's dated for common parlance, but in medical terms is still used, which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that it's... because the common parlance misuses it in a way that it feels derogatory to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And whereas medically, they use it in a way that's not a problem.
It's generally, like, followed by affective. It's like schizoaffective disorder, and, like, that... we can't get into it.
This is too much of a discussion.
Yeah, it's kind of like the same way with, like, the slang for bipolar is also weird, and then also, like, the R word, you know?
Yeah, that's just become completely...
abused. And it was weirdly, like, it was a medical term, and then it become, like, slang is always this interesting thing where it trickles down, and then they have to change it to...
Yeah.
Because people misuse language.
Yep. Anyway, so
he thinks he might be mentally ill.
Right. And when Jess is leaving, she gets a flat tire on her bicycle, to be clear, because she's not driving a car. Ever
again. She does. Once she gets out of the car, she's like, it's a wonder I don't drive. And I'm like, how can you make a quip right now?
Yeah. Oh no, that's when I always make quips, is when it's like, a life-threatening. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So Daniel's nephew is driving past her and offers her a lift. And so they're worried about him and wondering whether he's crazy. And also there has been a scene, I think has happened prior to this. Not sure, whether this is after, it doesn't matter, but, where the nephew's fiance is talking to him and saying, I don't know, we might need to have him evaluated for crazy.
I don't remember where that comes in either, but it does.
Yeah.
It does occur.
Right.
But then the nephew needs to stop and get gas, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is where they...
Because he offers a lift and they go to get gas. And while they're at the station...
He gets out of the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets out to pay.
Yes, right. But not to pump.
Not to pump.
And she is like a little sniffly and like kind of out the car window is like, hey, do you have a tissue in the glove compartment? And he says, yeah, absolutely, go for it. Mm. And so she opens it up and she sees like this register of gas mileage.
Which, because it's a rented car.
Right, because it's a rented car.
He does not own a car. It is rented. Right. So you need to know, you have to keep track because they charge you past a certain amount, from my understanding. Anyhow, she sees that the mileage is the same or not nearly enough to suggest that it's been to Portland and back, which is 300 miles away? Something crazy like that?
Something far, far.
Yeah.
And it has only gone near.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Exactly. So the next morning, she's at a grocery store. This very quaint grocery store.
I've been in a couple like this in like when I visit my folks, and I love it. Ugh, so much. She's checking out, and she hears a bunch of noise.
Yeah.
And
Ethan's playing a video game.
Yeah, Ethan's playing an arcade game, but we don't get racism from the checkout person, but we do get this weird thing where she's like, well, he's not a local, and Jessica is like, he's lived here for 6 years, but he wasn't born here, which is like this weird bigotry that she is also suggesting, because this is the same woman from the founding celebration, and like she clearly is like too invested in like the town pride.
Yeah,
it's like very like Sandy Cheeks and Bikini Bottom type of like, what are you doing here kind of a thing.
Exactly. Sure. So she goes over, Ethan convinces her to play this video game, and she has her light bulb moment.
Yeah, it's a driving game.
Yeah.
And so, because Ethan's like, you gotta slow down. You gotta take it easy. You're going too fast, Jess. You're bumping into everything. You're going nuts.
Right. She has it.
Yeah.
So she convenes them all to the park to see if anyone can remember anything else.
A parkler reveal, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And then the van shows up. And then the sedan is that has been running people over and whatnot also appears. And Charles Woodley is there. Amos is there. Yeah. Everybody's there. Everyone's panicking. And Jessica is like, aha, now I know.
Woodley on his cane, mind you.
Yeah.
Yes, on his cane. And it turns out that the fiance is behind this. The niece to be, who was hired by Charles Woodley.
Yeah.
To bump off the partner, make it look like someone's trying to bump him off, and then get Daniel blamed for it because he wants to steal all of his inventions.
Yeah, his patents.
His patents.
Because they were working on, I think it was the radio technology, and he's like, oh, that's a dead end, doesn't go anywhere. And then they since have realized that it could be quite useful, because he's, like, done poking around, and he's like, okay, well, I want all this for myself.
Yeah.
which is interesting that because like Daniel's a really interesting character in as much as he seems more interested in inventing new things, and he's like, yeah, I have this huge backlog, I don't care. Like, yeah. I made a million things, I don't give a shit.
Exactly. So, and then Daniel realizes that all along, Katie's been there for him, and that maybe... And then he says, I'm not going to move for you, but I'm going to convince you to move here.
Stay like, here, yeah.
Aww.
All right.
Question mark?
Yeah.
It's a sweet sentiment, but, like, also, let the lady do what she wants.
Exactly. Yeah. So... Yeah. But they seem happy, so that's good for them.
Yep. And then Jess and Ethan go to the arcade tournament, because there's a contest. And Jess is like, well, I've been brushing up. And he's like, oh, no. And then we get credits.
That's our button. What did we think about this one?
What did we learn today on the program?
I
learned that...
Oh, man. I give this 4 and a handlebar. It goes against everything that I stand for in an episode, but it was such a wild ride, pun intended. And, like, I just, oh my gosh, it was just so much fun and so bizarre, and it's like the old Belle Biv DeVoe song tells you, you know? You can't trust a flat button to frown. That girl is poison.
That's... How can anyone say it any better than that?
Yeah. Case closed. I enjoyed this episode a lot. I can't remember specifically why, but I thought it was very funny. It got me to laugh out loud a few times, which is always a plus. Yeah, I really like seeing Ethan as much as I do. I like the Cabot Cove episodes more, it seems. But I'm also like really into like small town... vibes in general, like, which is one of the reasons I like Twin Peaks so much, is the aesthetics and all of that. But yeah, it was very funny. Like, it was weird too. Like, it was a weird crime. I do like in this first season, we were talking about like the episode Dog's Life last time, and Tyler was like, this is like a season 9 episode. And they're doing it in the first season. And this feels similar. Like, I'm like, okay, we're in the 7th season. Jesus, what do we do? What do we do? Fucking, there's a man, the car drives itself. And they're like, okay.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. I thought seeing Ethan and Amos and Jess all interact was great, too. I like the core cast. They're really growing on me.
What was your rating, Tristan?
4.5 with Tyler.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I thought it was a lot of fun, but I'm still going to give it a 3.5.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's a good time. Crime is pretty lame.
But I think it's convoluted enough. I think it's an interesting thing to have a frame up rather than, like, say, a murder. Like, the whole thing was, like, business espionage, which I go for. I like espionage a fair amount.
Okay, fair enough.
But I feel you, Melissa. Like, I mean, it wasn't a murder of anyone, like, we even remotely could care about.
I didn't even hate him. Like,
right?
It was I didn't have any feelings about this person at all when he died.
Yeah.
Other than that, I
honestly forgot someone died in this episode.
Same.
So,
yeah.
So, Espinosa, she wrote. Like, I don't... Yeah, I did not recall that. When you were talking about that, I was like, yes, definitely.
All right, there you have it, folks. And with that, I call this very special meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to a close. Vroom, vroom.